There are all kinds of deceived people and false brethren, maybe some true believers that have wrongly said they've seen visions. Unless we become deceived and inflate visions with our fleshly minds, Colossians 2, we must remember God revealed himself in many different ways and proportions in the past, but now reveals himself through his Son.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today we continue our look at Ezekiel's first vision.
Yes, we will, Dave. And understanding this vision is crucial for understanding the book of Ezekiel. So turn with us to Ezekiel chapter 1, and we're in verses 4 through 21.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
The storm wind was coming from the north, a great cloud with fire flashing forth continually, and a bright light around it, and in its midst something like glowing metal in the midst of the fire. And within it there were figures resembling four living beings. And this was their appearance. They had human form. Each of them had four faces and four wings. And their legs were straight, and their feet were like calf's hoofs, and they gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings on the four sides were human hands. As for the faces and wings of the four of them, their wings touched one another. Their faces did not turn when they moved. Each went straight forward. As for the form of their faces, each had the face of a man. All four had the face of a lion on the right and the face of a bull on the left. And all four had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out above. Each had two touching another being and two covering their bodies. And each went straight forward. Wherever the spirit was about to go, they would go, without turning as they went. In the midst of the living beings, there was something that looked like burning coals of fire, like torches darting back and forth among the living beings. The fire was bright, and the lightning was flashing from the fire. And the living beings ran to and fro like bolts of lightning. Now as I looked at the living beings, behold, there was one wheel on the earth beside the living beings for each of the four of them. The appearance of the wheels and their workmanship was like sparkling beryl, and all four of them had the same form, their appearance and workmanship being as if one wheel were within another. Whenever they moved in any of their four directions without turning as they moved. As for their rims, they were lofty and awesome, and the rims of all four of them were full of eyes round about. And whenever the living beings moved, the wheels moved with them. And whenever the living beings rose from the earth, the wheels rose also. Wherever the spirit was about to go, they would go in that direction. And the wheels rose close behind them, for the spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. Whenever those went, these went. And whenever those stood still, these stood still. And whenever those rose from the earth, the wheels rose close behind them, for the spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. All right, well, that's what we're going to look at today. But let's keep reading, because this isn't the whole thing. We got to know that this is connected to what we're going to see, Lord willing, next week. Now, over the heads of the living beings, there was something like an expanse, like an awesome gleam of crystal extended over their heads. And under the expanse, their wings were stretched out straight, one towards the other, and each one also had two wings covering their bodies on the one side and on the other. And I heard the sound of their wings like the sound of abundant waves as they went, like the voice of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army camp. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings, and there a voice came from above the expanse that was over their heads. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings. Now above the expanse there was over their heads, there was something resembling a throne, like lapis lazuli in appearance. And on that which resembled the throne, high up, was a figure with the appearance of a man. Then I noticed from the appearance of his loins and upwards something like glowing metal that looked like fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his loins and downward, I saw something like fire, and there was a radiance around him. As the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice speaking. Okay, remember, we're going to see about these angels. That's what we're going to look at today. And it's important because God puts it in here. But that's not the main part of the vision. It's visions of God. But as we look at it, it'll be helpful to keep that in mind. Okay, now it's also very important that we have a good understanding of this foundational grand vision for the rest of the book. It really is the foundation laid for what we'll see and how to understand the rest. Also, understanding this vision will greatly help you understand rightly the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. So if we see it rightly, it'll be helpful. Now, again, I need to warn you, lest as we look at Old Testament visions, there are all kinds of deceived people and false brethren, maybe some true believers that have wrongly said they've seen visions. Unless we become deceived and inflate visions with our fleshly minds, Colossians 2, we must remember God revealed himself in many different ways and portions in the past, but now reveals himself through his Son, Hebrews chapter 1. We have the completed word. Hebrews 1:1, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, Ezekiel's a prophet, by the way, in many portions, in many ways, and we're going to see that in the book of Ezekiel, okay? In these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. People say God spoke to me through vision. No, he has spoken through his Son, who has appointed heir of all things and was also made the world. You see, we have the completed word of God. We have the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And so don't let anyone say that. Besides a few visions that will come in the context of the tribulation where God's plan moves back to Jerusalem for 7 years, as we see in Joel in Acts 2, there are no visions. We have God's completed word. So now as we look at this vision, I want to lay some interpretive ground rules that will be helpful. First of all, no vision can adequately describe God. We need to recognize that. John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. The Lord Jesus, through John now, we see this in John, that's being said way after Ezekiel. No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten. No one has seen him in total, in a sense. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. We have Christ explaining him. He has explained him. And so he cannot totally be grasped or described, yet he has desired to reveal himself, and what he has desired to reveal to us, we have freely in his word to understand for our benefit, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of him. So no vision can adequately describe him. Secondly, we are not seeing what Ezekiel saw. We are not there. We are hearing in recording in the scriptures what he saw. We're not seeing it ourselves. The reality is we have a limited description of the indescribable. Okay? And what do I mean by that? Over and over again in our text, we have the phrases such as something looked like, something like, likeness, 17 times. Resembling twice, appearance 10 times. It's like it looks like this. He's trying to describe it, you see, in terms that can help us understand, but we're not there. He's trying to describe the indescribable in a sense. And so inspired by the Spirit, we have this. 29 times in 24 verses, something like or resembling or in accordance. So with that in mind, third, Ezekiel's vision was not a passage of scripture or letter given to him. It was something he was caught up in, which was recorded then in Scripture. We're seeing the recorded portion. We are not seeing it as Ezekiel saw it. We're hearing his inspired explanation, okay? So we want to totally try to rewrite it and figure it all out and everything. Let's just leave it at what it says, and I believe we'll be able to understand the intent. And fourth, we need to let God reveal in the vision what is important. We need to not elevate. You know, sometimes people can interpret the word rightly, but misemphasize passages, bring a higher emphasis to some area than the others. That's misinterpreting. It may be correct. You see this in the evangelical churches all the time now. They'll share a passage correctly, but they will misemphasize a portion of it and not bring forth the application and portions that truly are needed, truly what God would bring forth. Okay, so with that in mind, let's take a look and walk through this vision, okay? First of all, there's the storm wind and storm cloud. Verse 4, and as I looked, he's on the river Shabar, right, among the exiles. As I looked, a storm wind was coming from the north, a great cloud with fire flashing forth continually, and a bright light around it, and in its midst something like glowing metal in the midst of the fire. Okay, I believe we're going to see in the context, he says these are heavenly visions, right? This is an earthly experience revealing the heavenly, using things God decides to help us understand through the symbolism of these things. He's by the river, and this storm wind and great cloud. Now, this term storm wind is translated often whirlwind. Same thing, Elijah got caught up in the whirlwind and taken up. Job, the Lord answered him in a whirlwind, right? It is a very stormy, violent wind. And there's also a storm cloud we see, right? It's a violent wind. It's not a tornado, but it's a violent wind, okay? Whirlwind. It's a tempest. It could be translated tempest. Swirling winds. And here we have a great cloud in the context with flashing forth continually. This is a big deal. Now, before we came to the east, you know, I hadn't seen many big thunderstorms. We've seen some great thunderstorms here, and they are loud. The thunder shakes the house. Shakes the house. You can feel it. And the lightning's so bright, you know, lighting up the night sky, and it's fearsome. You look at those clouds, and all of a sudden, a big wind comes all of a sudden, and boom, it downpours, you know. Well, this is much more than that. And so he sees that. This is this great wind and this storm. And so when you think about storms, what is the significance of storms? Well, first of all, storms symbolically reveal God's power, right? We see that. When we see that lightning, we see the power. We go, wow, God is powerful, right? We see that. It also often reveals his displeasure or judgment. You know, a nice, sunny, great day is not the same as a stormy day, right? And in storms, there can be damage. There can be difficulty. There can be trouble, right? It reveals his displeasure and judgment. And here we see in our passage that it was coming from the north. Now, if you lived in Israel, you would know that all the storms come from the southwest. Big storms come from the southwest. That's how they get their rains. Southwest, right? They don't come from the north. This is an anomaly because there's something more being said here. This is a vision, and it's coming from the north, as Ezekiel sees it, okay? It's coming from the north. Now, we're going to see that very clearly. Jeremiah reveals that this is the same thing, that judgment is going to come from the north. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 6. So this storm is really going to be pointing to the judgment God is bringing in the context of a storm. But it's very efficient and very clear that who is behind it and what's happening. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 6. Lift up a standard towards Zion, seek refuge, do not stand still, for I am bringing evil from the north and great destruction. A lion has gone forth from the thicket, a destroyer of the nations has set out. He has gone forth from his place to make your land waste, your cities with ruins without inhabitant. For this, put on sackcloth, lament and wail, for the fierce anger of the Lord has not turned back from us. It shall come about in that day, declares the Lord, that the heart of the king and the heart of the princes will fail, and the princes will be appalled, and all the prophets will be astounded. He says, I'm bringing evil from the north. It's talking about judgment. This vision is about judgment. It is about God's displeasure, and it is coming from the north, okay? And Ezekiel points out, so there's something inside this wind and storm. Look back in our passage. He says, a great storm wind coming from the north, a great cloud with fire flashing forth and a bright light around it, and in its midst, something like glowing metal in the midst of the fire. So you got the flashing light. Obviously, it's a storm like fire. It's just flashing, right? And there was a bright light around it, and in its midst, something like glowing metal in its midst. Now, as we read earlier, when we read the whole vision, we see later on we have this phrase associated with the appearance of the glory of the Lord. Later on, look at verse 26. Now above the expanse there was over the heads, there was something resembling a throne, like lapis lazuli in appearance, and on that which resembled a throne, high up was a figure with the appearance of a man. Then I noticed from the appearance of his loins upwards something like glowing metal that looked like fire all around within. That's basically the same thing. Mist of fire, glowing metal. I believe in the missus you're seeing a picture, an overview, that this is the Lord on his throne coming in storm judgment. He's coming. He's coming from the north. The glory of the Lord is in the midst of the storm, and he is coming from the north. And this sets the stage for the entire book. It is God bringing judgment on Judah and Jerusalem. It is God bringing the great storm. It is God bringing it through, as we'll see, the Babylonians coming from the north. He is going to use them. The Babylonians in the north, he's going to use them. We see in Jeremiah that he's going to use the Babylonians to bring his judgment. That great storm, as prophesied in Deuteronomy 28, because they didn't obey, is coming. And so I believe the first four is really an overview of what we'll see in the rest of the chapter, okay? This is what he's seeing, and then he's caught up into the details, okay? So let's take a look at the details here. Let's look at the cherubim. You're saying, well, wait a second, cherubim? Well, let's take a look. Verse 5, and within it, that's the storm, wind, and cloud with the fire and the glowing metal, right? Within it, there were figures, plural, resembling, remember that word resembling, four living beings. And this was their appearance. They had human form. Now, it's going to be kind of a weird-looking human form in a minute, right? They had human form. So basically, it's human form with these modifications, okay, as we'll see. Each of them had four faces and four wings. And their legs were straight, and their feet were like calf's hoof, and they gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on the four sides, there were human hands. And as for the faces and wings of the four of them, their wings touched one another. Their faces did not turn when they moved. Each went straight forward. As for the form of their faces, each had a face of a man. All four had the face of a lion on the right and the face of a bull on the left. And all four had the face of an eagle. And such were their faces. Their wings were spread out above. Each had two touching another being, and two covering their bodies. Wow, God's got stuff going on that we don't see, okay? This is a spiritual situation that Ezekiel is seeing. It's a heavenly vision, by the way, remember that? Visions of God. And so here you say, well, you just said a minute ago this is cherubim or angels, right? Yeah, well, it didn't say cherubim there at all, did it? How'd you get that, Greg? Well, turn to Ezekiel chapter 10. Ezekiel chapter 10. Ezekiel 10, verse 15. Then the cherubim rose up. Okay, that's cherubim, right? These are the living beings that I saw by the river Shebar. There you go. They are cherubim, okay? And you say, great. What's a cherubim? Sounds like an ice cream or something, right? I'll have two cherubims, please. No, it's not. These are angelic beings. We see in Genesis chapter 3, they are those who guarded the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve sinned and were expelled. They guarded the Tree of Life. You can look at this, Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. These are angelic beings that God uses to serve his purposes for the sake of those who would inherit salvation. You can look at that, Hebrews chapter 1. Genesis 3:22. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like us, knowing good and evil. And he became like us in the sense from the sinful side through fall. And now, lest he stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way of the tree of life. The cherubim are keeping Adam out. You're not going back in because of the fall, right? We know in Exodus 25 that we have their likeness of two cherubim being made. their faces towards and their wings covering the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. You can look at that in Exodus 25. They are carvings of cherubim, okay? We know in Psalm 99 that the Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. We're going to see he's above the cherubim here in this vision. He's enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth shake. We see in Ezekiel 28 that Satan is a fallen cherub. Let's turn there. Ezekiel 28. He is a fallen cherub. Satan was a cherub. He was the cherub who covers. He is an angel. He is a created being. Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him. Now, what will happen in Scripture, you'll see this also in Isaiah 14, is that a lamentation will come and it'll be about the physical embodiment of the spiritual reality behind. The king of Tyre was fully controlled by Satan, and so take up a lamentation, but then it moves from him to actually condemning Satan. And you'll see it goes way past the reality of a man. Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of perfection, had, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God, implies he was obviously fell during that time. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapis lazuli, and the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, and the workmanship of your settings and sockets. A New King James talks about pipes. Speaking of music, by the way, it's really the best translation, was in you. Hey, he's the music guy. He's the music leader, and the cherub, as we'll see, who covers. He reflects the glory of God. Okay? He says here, was in you on the day you were created. They were prepared. You were the what? Anointed cherub who covers. Okay? And I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in all your ways from the day you were created. He was created sinless. And it says, until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence and you sinned. He fell. He sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God. I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, for the midst of stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. Pride. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. Because of the multitude of your iniquities and the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you. And I have turned you to ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who see you. And you can, and he says, all who know you among the peoples are appalled at you. People really know who he really is. From the word, they're appalled. We're appalled at him. You have become terrified and you will be no more. God will take care of him. He'll be thrown in the lake of fire that was prepared for him and his angels. And he'll be tormented day and night forever. Praise the Lord. Okay, but he was the top cherub. He was the anointed cherub who covers. Then in Psalm 18, it's spoken of the Lord riding upon a cherub. We have in Revelation 4:6, which I read during our operatory time, these living creatures, most likely cherubim, they're very similar in appearance, saying over and over again, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, today you spent a lot of time talking about cherubim.
Yes, I did, Dave. And as we continue our look at this book, we're going to see
that this behind-the-scenes look in the heavenlies reveals how God's will is brought about perfectly and at his command through those who serve him in the heavenlies, as we see here, the cherubim. Well, you want to learn more about these cherubim? Well, I invite you to come and listen to our next broadcast of Equipping the Saints, where we're going to continue our look at this fabulous book of Ezekiel.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.